This is ARRL's Eclectic Tech, a bi-weekly look at the technical and scientific side of amateur radio with your host Steve Ford, WB8IMY. Eclectic Tech is brought to you by ICOM. ICOM, for the love of ham radio, is about the passion for an incredible hobby. Visit ICOM in the community webpage at www.icomamerica.com/community.
I'm speaking with Dave Slaughter, W3DJS. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
Dave, you're the inventor, creator of HamPi. But before we get to defining exactly what that is, now with the Pi, of course, it has something to do with a Raspberry Pi. But for listeners who perhaps have no idea what we're talking about initially, let's start on the ground floor. In other words, can you explain what a Raspberry Pi is?
Yes, I can. The simple version of that is the Raspberry Pi is a single board computer that is used by hobbyists and is very expandable. What most people know about it is that it's a very affordable computer up until the stock scarcity related to the pandemic. But typically, they run from about $35 and up. Depending on how much capabilities you add into them. But it's the exact same type of computer that you might use as a desktop, except for it's very tiny. It fits in about the size of a deck of cards, maybe just a little bit larger than that. It runs on low power. It runs on 5 volts and 2.5 amps for the Raspberry Pi 3 and earlier, and then 3 amps for the Raspberry Pi 4 and later. So it's low cost, it's small size, low power. The ARM processor on it is very capable, and you can run it just like a desktop computer. So a lot of hams have adopted using the Raspberry Pi to operate both in their shack, and then, of course, due to its low power requirements and small size, they've also taken it into the field as well.
Yes, it's been very popular. I've played with them briefly. Oh, it's been 2-3 years ago, and they were a lot of fun. And you seem to have solved one of the problems that I faced back then, which was finding and installing amateur radio software. And to that end, you created HamPi for the Raspberry Pi. So what is HamPi?
Very simply, HamPi is the premier ham radio software distribution for the Raspberry Pi computer. It is basically a pre-built set of about 100 different applications for the amateur radio operator. It's pretty much just plug and play. You don't have to go downloading software and compiling it and installing it. It's already there. You start up the apps, you fill in the information like your call sign and grid square and whatnot, and you're ready to go. So it's a prepackaged solution. It is both for saving time for hams as well as allowing newbie hams that are new to the Raspberry Pi platform or new to Linux in general, which is the operating system, to get up and running very quickly.
I looked at the list of applications, and it's really extensive. I saw WSJTX, of course. I saw a slow scan TV app. I think satellite tracking, software-defined radio, and logging, and an awful lot more.
That is absolutely correct. There are a number of different software categories that HamPi falls into. There is, for example, not mentioned, there are antenna modeling apps on there. There are tutorial apps for helping people become passive technician and general test, although some of those apps are a little bit dated. But even though they're dated, they're still quite useful because a lot of the basics in ham radio have not changed, even though some of the regulations change from time to time. You did mention satellite-type applications. There's also PSK-type applications in digital mode. There's support for EMCOM, so emergency communications is supported with the inclusion of DRATs and PAT, which is an open-source version of WinLink. For Linux-type computers. So there's logging software that wasn't mentioned. There's support for APRS, CW, Morse code, And you did, of course, mention satellite communication and software-defined radio. So there's really a little bit for everybody in there. I mean, there's even stuff that doesn't even fit into these categories because they're like maybe one-off applications like Chirp to program your HT, or there's another app that helps you program your DMR radios. BlueDV, which lets you get onto the D-Star network, the DMR network, and the Yaesu System Fusion network just by plugging in a cheap little AMBE USB dongle, which run about $100. So it basically lets you get on those radio networks without actually having a radio, just using the computer and the sound card built into it. It really is everything.
Now, to reveal my ignorance completely, I have to ask, did you build this on a platform, an operating system like Raspbian or one of those?
Yes, sir, I did. It's built upon Raspberry Pi OS, and Raspberry Pi OS is released by the Raspberry Pi Foundation. It itself is based on top of Debian Linux. The current version of HamPi is running on top of the Raspberry Pi OS that's built on top of Debian 11, also known as Bullseye.
Okay. And Dave, could you summarize the steps basically to install this thing? Imagine that a listener went out and he or she has purchased a Raspberry Pi. He's got it set up. He has a monitor hooked up to it and some sort of a, perhaps a wireless keyboard. What do they do next?
So the first thing they want to do is in whatever computer they want to download the software from, open up a web browser and go to hampi.sourceforge.net. That's hampi.sourceforge.net. And that will take them to a download page where they can download the image. And once the image has been downloaded, it's a compressed file and you don't have to uncompress it. They would use another tool. And the tool I recommend is Balina Etcher. And that's easily found on the web. And it is cross-platform for Mac, Windows, and Linux, and they use Balina Etcher to then write the image. So it will automatically decompress the image and write it out to a micro SD card for the newer Raspberry Pis. Or since HamPi 2.0, the current release, supports all Raspberry Pi computers, they can even flash it to an SD card running on a Raspberry Pi 1, which is about 10 years old or so at this point. So once it's flashed to the SD card or the micro SD card, I basically insert it into the Raspberry Pi and power it up, and then you go from there.
And everything just comes up. You have a desktop type of screen, almost Windows-esque in a way, at least from what I could see, and then all of the applications are present?
That's correct. What they see is a desktop GUI. With a Raspberry Pi menu up on the upper left-hand corner of the screen. And when they click on the little Raspberry icon, the menu drops down. What they will notice is a ham radio applications menu, which when selected then shows a submenu with categories of applications. For example, if you select weak signal, you'll see WSJTX or a GS8 call under that category. And then all you do is highlight that and click on it, and those applications will launch.
It sounds deceptively easy, is it?
It's pretty easy, but watching the support forums, and there are community support forums that I definitely urge that people join. That's at groups.io/g/ham-pi. I see that people run into all sorts of different issues with different keyboards, compatibility with the HamPi, or somebody was mentioning issues with Bluetooth the other day. So it's an operating system, and there are lots of different things that come up. The nice thing in that having a community support forum is that you can post your question there, and whether it's me that answers or one of the 800 or 900 plus members on the board, will see the message and hopefully come in and respond to somebody's plea for help or assistance there. There are issues, but we're good about supporting people on the board.
I assume the current version is not obviously the first version. How long have you been doing this?
At this point, 2.5 years. The very first version of HAMPI wasn't even called HAMPI. Prior to HAMPI 1.0, it was actually called the W3DJS ham radio software image for the Raspberry Pi, which is quite a mouthful of a name. And that was hand-built. It took me a couple of weekends to put together, and it had a lot less applications. HAMPI 1.0 and later is built using an IT software automation tool called Ansible. And if folks want to know more about Ansible, can definitely Google that. But Ansible let me write a number of playbooks that when Ansible runs, it follows the plays in the playbook, and it follows those steps to install the software. In many cases, I would say about 85 to 90% of the time, it downloads the source code for applications like WSJTX and then builds it directly on the Pi and places it on the image.
Oh.
So there's no manual steps during the about 6 or 7 hour build time. It just runs on its own and does its thing. There are manual steps at the very end and the very beginning of the build where I'm flashing the base image to the card or where I'm creating the image and then compressing it at the end. But the majority of the build is all automated using Ansible.
A moment ago, you mentioned the fact that the Raspberry Pi really lends itself well to portable operating. And as I imagine you know, there's kind of a trend for many hams to operate summits on the air and parks on the air. And for those who need a computer for logging or for digital modes like FT8, generally they've been hauling along laptops. But if you're hiking, that can be a problem. Do you see the Raspberry Pi and HAMPI fitting into that?
Absolutely. In fact, I get fan mail from people telling me about how well it worked for them in a parks on the air situation. I haven't yet heard about anybody using it on islands on the air, but I'm definitely looking forward to hearing somebody doing that eventually.
Now, thinking of FT8 in a portable situation, Dave, how would you suggest handling the time synchronization problem? Is there some way to connect, say, a GPS time source or GPS receiver to the Raspberry Pi to do that?
Oh, I'm absolutely glad you asked about that. So, in the case of HAMPI, there's a couple of different solutions to get the proper time on the device. One of the solutions is, and I will say that I am compensated by this company, but Northwest Digital Radio has a draws board that you can purchase and put onto a Pi 3 or a Pi 4, and it has a built-in GPS which can supply the time to the Pi itself. And there is built-in support for the draws board on HAMPI. Besides that, there is also the ability to put a real-time clock onto the Pi, and those cost only about $5 or so, US dollars. And I mentioned US dollars because HAMPI has a lot of international users as well. Besides the real-time clock, there's also the ability to plug in approximately $7 US GPS module into one of the USB ports and get the time that way. So there are definitely solutions for mobile operation and maintaining correct time for FTA.
Continuing the portable operating thread, what about monitors, Dave? What sort of small, low power consumption monitor would you suggest for that situation, for the Pi?
It really depends on what the person's budget is and what type of lighting situation they have out in the field. A lot of monitors do not lend themselves well to being out in the sunlight. And of course, that's a problem whether you're using a laptop or a Raspberry Pi. But let's say you have a shaded environment, or you can put a little shade around the Pi screen. There are a number of affordable displays that actually will plug in onto the Raspberry Pi's GPIO pins and it can operate that way. Now, those are typically low power and displays and small size displays, but those work very well for running FT8. And of course, if they want to go larger, I have my Pi 4 plugged into a 4K monitor in my ham shack, although I doubt you're going to be taking a 4K monitor out into the field with you. But there really are a lot of options. One thing I just purchased, although I haven't received it yet, is one of these digital ink displays. They are incredibly low power. They really barely sip any power at all, although they're a lot slower to update the display. If somebody wants to really conserve the power, there are digital ink displays available for the Raspberry Pi.
I had no idea. I'll have to take a look at that. I've seen, even on Amazon, really small paperback book size monitors, LCD types, that sort of thing. Some which claim to be able to plug into the HDMI interface, which I think, please correct me, Dave, I think the Raspberry Pi 4 provides.
That's correct. There is a, depending on the Pi model, the earlier ones had full HDMI ports, then later used mini and micro HDMI ports, depending on the model.
Okay. Well, that would be excellent. My laptop is probably a 8-year-old HP Elite book. And if you can imagine what that would be like to have to put that in a backpack along with your transceiver, a lead acid battery, and everything else, the Raspberry Pi with Ham Pi would be a huge benefit.
I certainly think so. And a lot of Ham Pi users agree with me because they will write me and tell me about how they're using Ham Pi out in the field. So I'm very happy to hear about that.
And also, too, back at home, many amateurs are probably like me that have, if you will, a central computer in the house that does everything from photo editing to household finances to everything else, even music listening. It's nice to have a separate, affordable computer that is dedicated to amateur radio that you don't have it being interfered with, if you will, when another family member needs to. Balance the books or something.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, in my own QTH, I do have a Raspberry Pi 4 running, of course, Ham Pi, separate from my primary laptop. And I actually do have a number of secondary computers. But in this particular case, I connect to Ham Pi using software called Virtual Network Computing, or VNC.
Oh yeah,
and I don't even have a display hooked up to the Pi. I'm just running it over my internal network and running WSJTX or FLDigi or DRATs over a virtual display.
I've heard of some people using various tablets and using VNC type applications to also connect in a network to the Ham Pi, and they're using their tablet as a display, in a sense.
That's absolutely correct. Ham Pi doesn't care as long as you're using the VNC protocol, and VNC clients work just fine on an Android tablet or an iOS tablet, or pick your operating system. As long as you have a client software that understands the VNC protocol, you can drive Ham Pi with it.
Well, you've done excellent work with Ham Pi, Dave. It's going to be an enormous benefit, I think, to many amateurs, especially, again, those who are just really getting into the Raspberry Pi world for the first time. For those people, it's a godsend.
I'd like to think so. I believe in hams helping hams, and not everybody has the ability to write Ansible playbooks, or not everybody has the ability to troubleshoot this and that problem under Linux or Raspberry Pi. I happen to be at the intersection of all of the necessary skills, and I have barely the time to do it. So this is my gift back to the ham radio community. And I like to think that I'm creating a legacy for myself by doing this. But This is really about the users, what they want and what they need. I'm happy to add to Ham Pi, and Ham Pi is a living being, so to speak. It's going to continuously be improved, and so what we have last year is a lot different than what we have now, and it keeps getting changes and modifying and improving with each version.
Well, thank you for doing this, Dave. It's excellent, and I'll look forward to using it myself.
Well, thank you very much. If I may, real quick, HamPie supports a couple of charities. Do you mind if I talk about those real quick?
No, by all means.
Oh, thank you. So I do not collect any money for HamPie, and I wouldn't feel right about that because HamPie is a software collection, and I'm building upon other people's work. So that wouldn't be fair for me to do. However, if people enjoy using HamPie, I support two different charities. One is the Americans for Equal Shared Parenting, and you can find them on the internet. The others is the Fathers' Rights Movement, and you can also find them on the internet. Being a child of divorce and also a parent of divorce, I've been involved with divorces from both ends, and I see how destructive the current system is. These charities fight for 50-50 shared parenting because I know from personal experience that children want both parents, and that's not the way it is in the United States and a lot of other countries as well. So these two organizations fight for 50-50 shared parenting. And so if you like using HamPie, send $5, send $10, whatever you can send to these charities, because it will help with bringing our family court system into a more compatible environment for children and fathers and mothers alike. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Tune in again for the next episode of Eclectic Tech, produced by ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. Music is provided by Purple Planet at purpleplanet.com. If you have comments, email eclectic@arrl.org. This episode is copyright ARRL and all rights are reserved. I'm Sabrina Jackson, KC1JMW. See you next time.